Hello, my name is Chris Traber from the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and we're here today to talk to you about the Corrections Information Sharing to Improve Reentry Project. Here with me today is John Kenny, who is the Assistant Superintendent of Special Operations for the Hampden County Sheriff's Department in Ludlow, Massachusetts. The facility holds 1,700 pretrial and sentence inmates. Mr. Kenny's responsibilities include facility security, intelligence and investigations, and acting as a liaison with fellow criminal justice agencies. He has worked for the Sheriff's Department for 29 years, beginning his career as a correctional officer and working his way through the ranks to his present position. He specializes in internal investigations and information sharing. For the last 4 years, he has been the architect and administrator of the Western Massachusetts Sheriff's Information System. This system, for the first time in the history of Massachusetts, has linked the four Western Massachusetts Sheriff's offices together, and it allows criminal justice agencies to query the sheriff's databases for information. Mr. Kenny holds a Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice from Elmira College. Now, Mr. Kenny is going to give us an overview of the information sharing efforts within Hampden County to include the Sheriff's Department's reentry initiative. John?
Good afternoon. A little background from a Hampden County perspective. There's 480,000 residents in Hampden County. A couple of largest cities are the city of Springfield, 150,000 residents, and Holyoke has 39,000 residents. Geographically, we're situated 90 miles west of Boston, and situated on the intersection of the Mass Pike and Interstate 91, so we see our fair share of crime. As Chris has told you, we have a 1,700-bed facility. We house both pretrial and sentenced. It's built in 1992, and it's a medium security facility, and we use the direct supervision mode to run the facility. This facility replaced the facility that was built in the Hoover administration. And we have 1,100 inmates behind the fence at the main facility in Ludlow. There's 390 correctional officers who work there, and there's 72 supervisors. We also have three separate sites distinct from the main facility, that is the Western Massachusetts Regional Women's Facility in Chicopee, Mass. There's 140 inmates that reside there. Now, Prairie Lee Center, which is on the grounds in Ludlow, there's another 200 inmates there. And we also have a very unique situation in downtown Springfield, the Western Massachusetts Correctional Alcohol Center, which houses 200 inmates. I take a couple minutes here to introduce Sheriff Ash. Sheriff Ash was elected in 1974. He has ran six successful times without an opponent, most recently re-elected in November. The sheriff is, from a fairly unique perspective of a sheriff, is that he holds a master's degree in social work from Boston College. And the sheriff's motto is firm but fair, and he wants to give inmates the opportunity to take advantage of the tools that we provide in the facility to change their lives. Just a little bit of a background on our present information sharing efforts in the county. As you go back to Chris's introduction of me, I'm a security person. I work in security, I work in intelligence, I work in the facility security and liaison with the police department. My history is that we would have daily, sometimes hourly, phone calls from district attorneys, from fellow law enforcement, federal, local, state, looking for information on inmates that are residing in the facility. Particularly this came to light during the advent of the gang situation in Western Massachusetts, which was probably the late 70s, early 80s. And all of a sudden it became recognized in the law enforcement community in Western Massachusetts that the jails were reservoirs of information and that we could help from a public safety perspective. Fast forward to the events of 9/11, 2001, and the advent of the Homeland Security funding that has been developed and distributed throughout the states. We participated in the Western Massachusetts Homeland Security Advisory Council, and one of the subcommittees there was sharing of information. We then decided to take our information, place it in a secure environment, build a search engine that allows police departments, prosecutors, probation, parole to search for inmates in our system in a variety of ways based on bits of data that we collect daily during the course of business. And I think that's an important point because we do accumulate all this information. height, eye color, hair color, tattoos, gang affiliation, who visits the inmate, who puts money in the inmate's canteen account, who the inmate resides with. All of this information is kept normally during the course of the business and potentially could be an important aspect of information to outside law enforcement agencies. We have set for the last 7 years administered yearly updates based on additional funding, and we've enhanced and offered new features on the Sheriff's Information Network. Once again, it resides in a secure environment. It's on our local CGIS network, and only police departments can query it, so it's really an easy exchange of information because it's Corey agency and there's very little privacy situations involved, and that privacy situation will go up as I continue into my presentation, and I'll point out how important that's going to be in our efforts to expand our information sharing system to include service providers from a reentry perspective. Reentry in Hampden County starts on day one. We put a lot of effort into reentry from an inmate perspective. We begin with an LSI inventory. The LSI inventory indicates criminogenic factors that have brought the inmate into our custody based on whatever charges they're being held on. From the LSI, we spend a lot of time developing what we call a service plan. The service plan addresses those issues, whether it be substance abuse, whether it be violence, whether it be situations from an other criminal activity perspective, carrying a firearm. We spend a lot of time indicating and dealing with inmates from a firearms perspective. Sheriff Ash is committed to public safety. We're committed to taking our best shot in a good way at the inmate while incarcerated with us. Some of the programs we put our inmates through, 28 and 29-day narcotic drug programs, domestic violence, victims, GED, college courses, kitchen maintenance, industries, anger management, high-risk offenders, and parenting classes. This is just a small example of the efforts that we have in exposing inmates to population. As I mentioned before, reentry planning starts from day one. One of the most unique aspects of the Hampden County Sheriff's Department is the development in the last 6 or 7 years of what we call the After Incarceration Support System. That is a group of individuals hired by the sheriff and that they work out into the community. So as an inmate is discharged from the facility, they are allowed on a purely voluntary basis to access this walk-in center, which is located in downtown Springfield, in a particularly high crime area of Springfield. And it focuses on discharged inmates. Now that referral process begins during the incarceration, and there's a typical flow of information, whether it be from the caseworker, from the correctional officer, from various people that deal with it, from a medical perspective, from a psychological assessment perspective. All of that information, once again, is kept in our databases on a normal course of business during the day. That service plan, as the inmate is walked through his incarceration, will turn into a release plan. And based on the issues that we have determined the inmate to need help in upon reintegration into the community, that service plan will focus on certain specific service providers in the community that will particularly help this inmate upon discharge. Presently, we have community partnerships with over 300 agencies. Substance abuse, housing, mental health, employment, health clinics, spiritual assistance, educational institutions. We also have a very extensive public health program. It's based on a zip code basis, and an inmate discharged, he's referred to neighborhood health clinics from a zip code perspective. And information obtained during the course of business in the facility is vital to those particular agencies willing to work with the inmate upon release. What are some of the information that we collect that may be vital to service providers upon receipt of the inmate after incarceration? Well, we have a substance abuse history. We have family support. Have they been having continual family support? Are they getting money into the commissary or canteen account? Do they have regular family visitation, and who are they? Family history, how they grew up, how many parents, what schooling, what educational level, clinical notes from a mental health perspective, clinical notes, treatment notes from a medical perspective, and behavior reports. What has the inmate been doing in the facility? It's a small example of some of the agencies that have agreed to work with us, and we have a flourishing relationship with Career Point, which focuses on employment. Bay State Health, which obviously is the local entity health service department. A particular important one is the BHN, Behavioral Health Network, which, as we've seen, there's a direct connection between mental health, substance abuse, and crime. And there's a lot of other agencies that we work with as well. Our after-incarceration support service, we have 19 full-time workers that work outside of the facility. And just to give you an idea, in the last fiscal year, we had 2,000 ex-inmates that took advantages of their services. So you can see from the Hampton County perspective our commitment to after-incarceration support service. And based on our history of exchanging information on the CORI side, we want to move in with the help of BJA technical assistance and with the particular assistance of the search folks and some monetary aspects that they're going to help us with. We want to get information out to these service providers from a query perspective. And we want to share information, results of our LSI survey, visiting information, and we want to allow it to be accessed to from a query portal perspective. We have one particular report, offender assessment summary, which I think contains vital information that I think would be a big help to the service providers. That's our initial effort in sharing of information. We want to allow the service providers to query and obtain a copy of that. From a future perspective, we'd like to, from a justice reference architecture perspective, have a two-way exchange. Particularly, I want to mention ID cards. ID cards are a very important thing to an inmate. As he's released, he can't do anything without an official ID card. We want to notify the Registry of Motor Vehicles prior to the inmate being discharged, and we want to get that in motion so that as the inmate is discharged, he can walk into a situation where that ID card is ready. Vital aspect to him, save time, energy, and make the inmate important. He's important. He's got an ID card. Bay State Medical, we do daily exchanges with them, whether it be actual health issues or behavioral health issues. We'd like to notify their service providers that an inmate with a particular mental health situation that we feel has a high chance of reoffending, that he's coming out. Here are his records. Here's what he's done in the jail. Here is his medication compliance. And here's we think this guy's a risk. Please help us to maintain this person in the community so that he doesn't reoffend. And why are we doing this? It's to improve public safety. Sheriff Ash and the Hampton County Sheriff's Department are committed to public safety. We want to enhance our reentry efforts. We want to use this cutting-edge technology. And basically, it's the right thing to do. What are some of the challenges? Obviously, from a CORI to CORI agency perspective, there's no real privacy issues. But when you get into a CORI agency, that being us, to a non-CORI agency, that being a service provider, there's going to be issues on privacy. Funding. We need funding on both ends of the exchange. Our IT team, they're off doing a host of other issues, including support on a daily basis. You can't do anything with your data without involving our IT team, no matter what type of a company that you would bring in to devise a system. They can't get anything done without having access to our IT and our data, and that involves our IT people. And the technology on both ends of the exchange. I think some of these agencies are mom-and-pop organizations, maybe one computer and an internet connection, and we need to look at making that work from that perspective. Some solutions that we've come up with, and hopefully we'll continue to expand this, on the privacy issue. At some point, we're going to have, during the incarceration, we're going to have the inmates sign a waiver. We try to establish a good rapport with the inmates, and we feel a good majority of those inmates will sign waivers to allow us to exchange information with the service providers. And the BJA technical assistance team is continuing to develop information sharing guidelines to inform our team on what is legal to share at a federal level. In this day and age with budgets and state budgets and cutbacks, the funding will continue to be a source of angst for us, and we're continuing to look outside of our budget for sources. Our IT team need to be supportive, be patient, and hopefully to get a window of opportunity where we can have one of our IT people liaison with the vendor and make these exchange happen. And I had mentioned on the technology on both ends, Initially, we're going to go for that query aspect. We're going to allow the service providers to query our department, and then at some point futuristically, with additional funds, we'll go to a two-way exchange from a JRA perspective. Some of the lessons that I've learned in my 7-plus years of exchanging information is that you can't control another department or an agency. You can basically control your own agency, but you can't control another department. The other agency's resources or interests always do not match your own. You may think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but they might not be available or see it from your perspective. Fear from other agencies. You know, who is going to see my data? That's something you have to work through. And we still have issues on our Cori exchange. There's one particular agency that only shares a certain part of its data and doesn't share the whole thing. And one thing you're going to run into if you ever want to get into this is everyone's interested in your data but very, very reluctant to share their own data. From the impact performance, what do we want to gain from our project here with the assistance of the BJA? We want to look at our recidivism rate. We feel we do great in that area, but we feel that if we're doing a healthy exchange, recidivism rates will get better. We want to watch our productivity level. Obviously, if you don't have staff doing this information flow, then, and it's an automatic query, hopefully we'll have staff available to do other jobs. The productivity of the community providers. Hopefully we're going to lessen the burden on them as well and help them from a budgetary perspective. We're going to watch for increase in inmates that are interested in these programs and program completions and placements in those programs. I think it's important that to watch that and see, you know, what type of business is this service agency doing with our inmates, and has it gone up since we've been pushing our data out. And we want to watch for requests from other providers to participate. If there's a big interest, which I've seen on the Cori side, you know, one agency will talk to another, and all of a sudden I'll get a call. Geez, I heard the state police are getting this information from you. I'd like to be on board too. I think we'll probably come into that as well from a service provider perspective. All in all, that's the Hamden County Sheriff's Department's efforts to date. We appreciate the opportunity to be JA to allow us to make this information public. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John, for being here and for sharing this with us today. You've been listening to John Kenny, the Assistant Superintendent of Special Operations for the Hampton County Sheriff's Department in Ludlow, Massachusetts. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to join us for this conversation. If you found the discussion interesting, we encourage you to visit the BJA website for more innovative ideas and best practices at www.ojp.gov/BJA. From all of us here at BJA, thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. We hope you'll join us again for another edition of BJA's Justice Podcast Series.